Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here this morning. I hope you are. Today is August 27th, 2020. And of course, you're listening to These Be Perilous Times. On this show, we make a point to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. These are things that are developing right before our eyes. I'm Pastor Andre, and I'm here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we both welcome you to this morning's broadcast. As usual, we have a great broadcast in store for you this morning, and I believe the Lord will continue to answer and give heartfelt answers to your heartfelt questions. So we want to make sure that you have a pen and notebook ready to write down those notes and anything the Lord may speak to you through today's discussion. But first, Rabbi, I'll pass the baton to you to get us started with prayer, and then we'll continue with our before Torah study blessing. Rabbi?
Amen. Father, we thank you and glorify you. We submit to you this day. We call for your anointing. We call for your purpose. We call for you to step in and to show us, to guide us, and to instruct us specifically with today's desire that you desire for each and every one of us to understand, to know, and to follow. Help propel us in our purpose, Father God, today. Help us to understand the reason why we are here and what you want to accomplish with us. Not without us, but with us, Father. We ask for forgiveness of sin, iniquity, and transgression. We thank you, Father God, that you've given us the ability to forgive ourselves. And we thank you for forgiving our forefathers on both sides of our family. In the name of Yeshua, we thank you for sparking more than just an interest in the things that are happening, but a quest to for us as individuals to fulfill our individual purpose as we see the things unfolding, as we begin to see the importance of what you're doing and the sovereign move that you're making. Help us, Father God, to begin to step in to that sovereignty and be everything that you called for us. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. And I'll pass it back to you, Pastor Andre. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Rabbi. We're going to go ahead and have our before Torah study blessing. Of course, we want to let everyone know this is a scriptural practice. One, whenever we come before the Lord, we are to bless the Lord at all times. But especially as we engage with the word of study and the study of the word, we want to recognize who Yah is and condition our hearts to receive. So here is our before Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, yitzhanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Amen. Commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. This morning, we're going to go ahead and do a recap of our discussion from last week. And we want to make sure that we are continuing to understand, as we talk about these Be Perilous Times, we're also now going back to our intro. We want to discuss not only the things that are taking place, but how we must respond to them. The first reminder that I have, and I've been saying this for a few weeks now, is that we need to make sure that our viewpoints, the things that we hold on to, you've probably heard us describe them as sacred cows even, we want to make sure that every viewpoint we have is sifted with the Word of God. In other words, the things that we believe, are they scriptural? Do they have foundation? And to that point, are the things that we're sharing today in Scripture? So we want to make sure that you go back, of course, and study these things in the Scripture to see if they be true, not just take our word for it. We're here to speak and to give direction that Yah has given us, but we want to make sure that everything that's said and everything that we hold on to is according to the Word of God. So please go back and do those things when you have time. Second, we talked about last week the fruit. And we specifically were talking about how there is a dichotomy or there is a comparison, oftentimes a two-fold struggle, if you will, between the fruit versus the power. And the Greek word is dunamis. I don't have the Greek Strong's for you today, but we can go back and get that another time. But the dunamis, the power versus the fruit. Now, this is something, issue that the church wrestles with often. The church desires the power often more so than the fruit of the Spirit. And we're talking, of course, about the Holy Spirit here. The power of the Holy Spirit versus the fruit. A lot of times they want to see the gifts, but don't want to pursue the fruit. What we don't realize is this empowers the enemy, the struggle that we find ourselves in, because it empowers him when we focus on the power over the fruit. Rabbi has said we have a dysfunctional understanding of the importance and the ability that resonates within the fruit aspect of the Holy Spirit versus the ability that resonates within the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand the importance, again, that resonates within the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We covered Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 25, and we were talking about the 3.5 years. We also made reference to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. But we're talking about, we brought up the Antichrist, and we brought out how it was the Latter-day Saints that are in our day that he began to make war with. And we wanted to specifically look at the verbiage and the words, how he was wearing out the saints. Of course, this was seen in the Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 to 25 scriptures. We know that the enemy is going to try to attack our Achilles heel. And the adversary, one of the ways he did it in Daniel, was to change worship times. But his main goal is to attack the fruit of the tree. In worship and in spiritual intimacy, there is power. And the truth is that nothing else really matters. We yield to him, to Yah, and allow Yah to reinvigorate areas of our life when we engage in worship and spiritual intimacy with him. This is what the fruit does. The fruit enables, the fruit empowers that spiritual intimacy and worship. We don't want to miss the fact that the adversary is very crafty and plans his attacks well. And what we mean by that is he's planning and looking at how he can sever the fruit from our lives. The only way he can wear anything out is to remove our ability to rest and be restored. That's the one area that often is an attack, the restoration and the rest, the peace. When that's attacked, it severs the fruit. Now, Rabbi gave us what we call the heavy revy from Romans chapter 12, and we were specifically focusing on verses 1 and 2. We talked about how the fruit of the Spirit are unable to be produced in the believer's life to the full measure of the anointing and manifestation of God, especially when we do not fast. If you refuse to fast and pray, then the ground, the spiritual ground, is not fertile enough to take the seed of the word and produce the harvest that God has called for that season. I'm going to say that again. The spiritual ground, when we don't fast, is not fertile enough to take that seed from the Word of God and produce the harvest, produce the fruit that was desired in that season. We're trying to manifest a harvest and produce the fruit of the Spirit without the ground being cultivated properly when we don't fast. Let me say that one again. When we don't fast, we're trying to manifest a harvest and produce fruit of the Spirit, and it won't be cultivated properly. I said that a little bit differently. But going on to verse 2 in Romans chapter 12, without understanding the importance of verse 1, we find ourselves in a situation where we are not going to produce fruit. The body is the ground, and if the body is not fasting, it is not able to produce fruit. One of the other points I had here, and I'm going to have a few more actually, but I wanted to hit this one pretty hard because this was a heavy revy. Without regular fasting and prayer, the seed will not produce the proper harvest that Yah is desiring in that season. The lack of preparation for the ground hinders the maturing fruit. It allows the weeds to choke out the word. Now, preparation makes all the difference when it's time for reaping. Fasting is both physical and spiritual. we need to make sure that we are walking in such a way that we cultivate the ground, making sure that we remove the weeds, and make sure that we're working towards preparing our soil, our mind, will, and emotions, our soul, for the spiritual harvest that God desires, especially with the fruit of His Spirit. So with that, I want to go ahead and pause with my recap and hand it back to Rabbi John. Thank you so much.
Amen. And although to some that may have been a huge recap, you need to understand the implications of everything that Pastor Andre was sharing. The reason why it was so much that had to be, for those that are listening, digested, is because, and Pastor Andre, I want to kind of go back to this because it's one of those things that if we continually miss this point or the main points that were shared in the recap, then we're going to continually miss the mark, wondering why we're missing the mark. And it's going back to the aspect of what was shared pertaining to fasting. And that's not something I know from, I can speak for myself, that's not something that I totally enjoy in and of itself. But I need to understand why fasting is a tool that God uses. And not just a tool, but one of the main tools. It's one of the main tools because of the fact that when we get into a state of not fasting, okay, when we begin to find ourselves busy about other things and not taking the time to kind of steal away, and this is a physical steal away, to allow our body to begin to heal itself. Because fasting in the natural, and this is not a natural tutorial on fasting. We're just going to cover some of the highlights, but allowing your liver and allowing your pancreas and the rest of your body to begin to heal itself, begin to take the respite that is necessary so that it can begin to build your immune system is an integral part from a natural perspective of fasting. When we miss that, then we begin to tax very heavily our liver, our pancreas, and our kidneys, as well as our intestinal area. When we compromise our intestinal area, which is the womb in the spirit, okay, where all the nourishment comes from the fruit of the spirit, spiritually speaking now, then we begin to wear down. We begin to tear down. We begin to lose focus. The rest of this human machine that God has created begins to go through a destructive phase, an autoimmune phase, if you will. Spiritually, that happens to us as well. We get to a place to where spiritually we get desynthesized from the things of God and from the desire of God and from the wooing of the Spirit of God to spend time with Him, and to not just spend time with Him to say, okay, I checked that block, I spent time. No, but to spend time in such a way to where it changes every aspect of your belief system. It changes the way you think. It changes the course of action and the manner in which you approach all of those situations that happen and that happen in your day. Our days are all filled with all types of conundrums that can happen. And when those conundrums happen and try to sway you and try to, as we talked about before, try to get your emotional system out of whack, when you've spent that time, when you've stilled away, when you've allowed the Spirit of Yah to begin to revitalize areas in your life, then the freshness, the newness, the mindset of knowing that you can think on and be elevated spiritually into things above so that the earthly things do not sway you. They don't take you. You don't lose your momentum in God with those things. You don't find yourself sluggish or in quicksand or just belaboring just to try to make it through the day. This is important for us to understand, because fasting plays that integral part to allow the freshness and the newness to really begin to manifest. And Pastor Andre, one of the things that, as you were sharing, and even earlier this morning as I was getting before the Lord about some things, he began to share with me how we often understand from the book of Revelations about the leaves of the spiritual truth, and that the leaves are there for the healing of the nations. We also understand about the seed, and the seed being the Word of God, and Yeshua gives a great tutorial pertaining to that as far as the seed. As you well stated, we are quite enamored with the thought and the idea of the power of God based upon the gifts of the Spirit, which is the manifestation of the Spirit being utilized in our life as we submit to something that we don't really understand the importance of, but we want to clarify that, or at least try to. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. Satan understands this very well, Pastor Andre, because Satan used that very element that he understood would annihilate and destroy any works in which he would try to establish in us. He used that in the garden. He used the very tool that would destroy every aspect of what God was wanting to do with him or through him against us. He used it against us. The tool that would work against him, he used against us. Because the moment that Eve ate of the fruit of the tree, she was violated, and they lost all of what God had already promised them at that very moment. The Father has given us the Word. The Word is the seed, and we're just going to break this down a little bit and then build it back up. But that seed within us, when we begin to manifest the fasting and the getting before Him and really meditating on the Word and just really beginning to allow the Word to come in and allow it to use us to fulfill what He's called us to do, okay, then that fermenting process begins to take place. That fruit begins to rebuild what was lost in us at the garden. So we're being rebuilt by the fruit of the Spirit. Is that resonating with you?
Very refreshing thought. That we're being rebuilt back to a state that we ought to be in by the power, by the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
And see, the power comes from the nourishment.
Mm.
So oftentimes we're so after the gift of the Spirit, but the gift of the Spirit manifests from the fruit that is being produced. The power of the gifts of the Spirit can begin to fulfill their full maturity. We can come to full maturity in the power of the Spirit because we are allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be able to nourish areas in our lives so that we are mature in Him, if that makes sense, what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It brings more purpose to the gifts. It brings more understanding to the gifts. And we don't focus then on the gift as much as we focus on what we're eating and when we're eating. In the natural, if we eat the wrong foods, it will produce a wrong result. the result is the gift manifesting with strength in the spirit. The result is the gift giving us back, because the gifts were designed to give back to us that which was stolen.
That's okay. Good.
You with me?
Yes.
See, because
yes.
Once we reach maturity, the gifts are not necessary for us individually.
Hmm.
Now, somebody will say, well, Rabbi, how do you prove that? Yeshua worked with the gifts of, with the fruit of the Spirit in his life. And he nurtured the fruit of the Spirit in his life, in his relationship with his Heavenly Father, to the point to where Yeshua never, ever needed the gifts of the Spirit for himself. Did you know that, Pastor Andre? Not one of the
That's
gifts
good.
Of the Spirit were ever used for himself.
Mm.
All of the gifts that he had and that were manifesting through him were used for someone else. Because he had reached the divine place in God. His divine place in God came from the fruit of the Spirit and the fasting that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The fasting nourished his spiritual ground so that when the word came, he could germinate that word. Even during the tempter's temptation against him, you know what he was chewing on. You knew what he was eating. He was eating Deuteronomy. He kept reading over and over the book of Deuteronomy to the point to where when he was tempted, that is all he quoted against the adversary.
That's what came out of him. Yep.
That's what came out. Exactly. Exactly. So he's giving us an understanding, the same understanding that Joshua had. When the Father spoke to Joshua and said, this book of the law. Well, which book was that, this book? It was Deuteronomy. He was saying, always meditate day and night on Deuteronomy. Yeshua took that to heart. And in its 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, he was meditating, chewing, building up within him the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit was inundated in Deuteronomy, the book Deuteronomy, which is the book that basically summarizes the other four pertaining to the Father and how the Father does things so that you can be pleased by him and approved by him so that he can begin to move in your life. And then once he's moved in our life, which is our goal, our micro, then all of those gifts of the Spirit that are within you, within me, during these perilous times can be released. Those gifts are designed to be released during perilous times.
That's good.
Come on now. Yeshua never had until the Garden of Gethsemane, Yeshua never had a perilous time. Did he? He never had a perilous time.
What comes to my mind, Rabbi, is that perilous time was the time where he had to withdraw from the tank that he had. Every other time
That's
he
right.
was giving the overflow to everyone else because it was overflowing. But that was the time where he had to withdraw everything he had to make it through that perilous time.
Exactly. Other than that particular moment, every time that he went with Yah, every time that he was drawing from or producing and taking from the fruit of the Spirit, it was so that it could produce or manifest the gift of the Spirit for someone else. Because he was already walking and living in divine purpose. So if that's the case, then these perilous times, these times where Jacob's troubles are going to manifest are so that we, you and I, can focus primarily on producing and eating from and living from the fruit of the Spirit, so that the gifts of the Spirit can manifest for someone else. We say, be like Yeshua. We say, do what Yeshua did. Well, that was what he did. But he got to a place to be able to do that. So we have to begin to exercise. We have to begin to go through a rigorous training, if you will, in order to get to that place to where the gifts of the Spirit are never something that we need for ourselves. Why? Because we walk in divine purpose. So that a medical doctor in the natural is not something that we ever need for ourselves. Why? Because our walking in so much health that it's not necessary for us. So as we begin to go back and study through these fruit of the Spirit, understand that it's the fruit of the Spirit that maintains our relationship through perilous times. Let's go back to Revelations. I know we went there before, but let's look at it from these lenses that we begin to share already. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Revelation chapter 14, and look at verse 12, I believe.
Okay.
It says, remember, this is one of the fruit, or one of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that's being pointed out here. So if it's being pointed out for us, then that tells us that that's something that we need to make sure is a part of us, and that we're walking and living in that. Go ahead and read.
Yes. Revelations chapter, let's see, I'm sorry.
Chapter 14.
This is 14.
Verse 12.
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
The patience of the saints. Patience is a part of the element of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's letting us know that during this turbulent time, during times of catastrophic upheaval and just worse than we can imagine situations and scenarios that we're having to face, he's saying that the fruit of the Spirit is what will ultimately allow you to overcome. It is what will ultimately allow you to begin to experience what Yeshua experienced during his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That was his focus. That's what kept him always above, always prepared to move by the Spirit to produce the gifts of the Spirit, to set the captives free. Why? Because he was not captive. He was not captive because of the fruit of the Spirit, not because of the gifts of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are what helps to keep us maintenance free. To be maintenance free. That's the achievement. That's the end goal, is to be maintenance free. I pray that as we're beginning to unveil the important ingredients aspects of where we need and how we need to be, is finding you in a place where you are desperately needing an answer for something, for things that you're trying to break through. We all have an area in which we need to break through and break off of our eyes so that we can fulfill all that is called for us. So this is very essential information that you're getting now that we all need to apply in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
so that there will not be an area of weakness. Why? Because it's already been dealt with. It's already been fortified by the fruit. The fruit have already given us the nourishment that we need so that we will be able to overcome. Before we move on, I just kind of wanted to get Pastor Andre's thoughts and comments on what we shared so far.
Rabbi, this is actually very profound, very timely discussion as well. I can see real easily, even in my own life, the desire to see more of the gift aspect, to see things moving and shaking, but not having spent appropriate amount of time focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. And what I keep hearing as we've been talking is about how the fruit of the Spirit really is like the fuel that really enables and gives endurance. It's like to use the car metaphors, for those of you who understand the mechanics of a car, but the right fuel, the right gasoline, but also making sure we have enough oil in the engine to make sure things are flowing properly. And Rabbi, what you had just said was we need to be maintenance-free. I don't know about you, but I would love a maintenance-free car. But you have the best way to have a maintenance-free car is to properly treat the car. You know, with the routine. See, I'm about to use maintenance again, but with the routine things that you do to enable and to make sure that car has longevity without having to go into repair. It also reminded me. My last comment here, but there's so many. It reminded me again of gardening because that's something that is a new thing in my life. But just being away from that garden for a little bit and seeing all the weeds that take over, it's almost like, oh, my goodness. But so often I found that the plants that have been nurtured, the ones that I have weeded, produce more fruit. And I'm realizing, bringing it back home here, I focused too much on getting the gifts, if you will, that – I'm realizing now that I will not get the gifts right if I don't get the fruit right. The fruit is like taking away the weeds. The fruit is like cultivating and nurturing the soul and making sure that I am in a good place to bear good fruit, or the works, if you will. So, Rabbi, there's so many different things that come to me, even, and I did say that was going to be my last comment, so I'll just leave it at that.
Go ahead. Go right ahead. I mean, if you would, please.
So the last one I do have goes right back to Scripture where Paul said, you know, I could speak with, you know, in tongues, or he was basically talking about having gifts, but without love, which is a fruit of the Spirit, I am just a noise.
Right.
So, again, it's showing that the fruit enables or accentuates even the giftings. And what scares me is how often, you know, have I operated in gifts without really having a good store in my tank of the fruit of the Spirit, which means I'm really trying to, I'm producing things that don't have good quality or the essential vitamins or the nutrients in it. I'm producing something that's less than if I were to simply go back and say, let's focus on the fruit first so that everything else will fall into place. I don't know. That's just where I'm at. There's so many different thoughts, Rabbi, based on this.
Yeah. No. And I totally get it. Totally understand it, because the external things of our life will tend to cloud our vision, so that we don't do the routine things and try to belittle the routine thing. I mean, fasting, prayer, getting before the Lord with Scripture, beginning to spend that quality time. We use the words quality and time, metaphorically, like they're just statements that really have no meaning, but they don't go together unless we utilize them properly. Okay, we can say it very flippantly. Yeah, I spent quality time with the Lord. Do I really know what that means? Okay, there are two different words: quality and time.
Meantime,
Yeshua talked to his disciples about, could you not pray with me 1 hour? Well, that was important. That wasn't just important to Yeshua. That was important because of the makeup of our being, both physically and spiritually. They did a scientific, and I thought it was so fascinating, they did a scientific study pertaining to certain frequencies and what it does to the human body when those frequencies are amplified for 30 minutes. And what they noticed is that your body tends to begin to reset itself, so to speak, mentally and physically. There's like a frequency reset that starts to happen in you. And it begins to open a spiritual portal. Now, most of us probably don't, are not even aware of that. And then the study goes on to say that, you know, it takes another 30 minutes to reset it back to where it needs to be. So you open the portal, and then the total reset process takes another 30 minutes. Well, that's an hour.
Wow. That's true.
Yeah.
That's...
So oftentimes we over-spiritualize what Yeshua is saying. We over-spiritualize what the Bible is saying. When in actuality, he taught them how, within that hour, to open that spiritual portal, to deal with areas in our life that need to be dealt with, and then to restructure us back to the maintenance-free individual. Okay? And see, this was something that Yeshua did on a regular basis. Well, if you do that on a regular basis, then you become, for that particular day, you become maintenance-free. For that particular day, there is nothing that is designed against you that can prosper from you. Because you've already reset. You've already went through that 1 hour reset early in the morning. This was Yeshua's practice. When we begin to go back and begin to dissect how he did things and then begin to utilize and begin to appropriate and to begin to imitate those things, there is no doubt we will begin to get the same results. Now, I have not already arrived. I'm telling you things that I'm already realizing that I need to be doing in my life. And as you're doing
I'm in the same boat.
The adversary... Say again?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the same boat.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. So as you're doing that, the adversary is going to build up fortified defenses against you and me and to try to throw that in your face to trip you up or to try to get you derailed or whatever. And we need to understand that the Father God's relationship with you and I is such a strong, fortified fortress that even if your heart begins to fail you in your ability to fulfill what you're supposed to fulfill, the Father says that he is bigger than your heart. He will overcome that. He will reset that for you. So all you have to do now is just believe until you can walk it out. And then as you're believing and walking it out, then he will begin through that fruit of the Spirit process, begin to give you the overcoming power so that you'll be able to overcome not just the weaknesses and sin, iniquity, and transgression that is trying to attach itself to you and to me. But you will be able to overcome in such a way to where Yah will give you the ability to be the yoke-breaking destroyer for others. That's what Yeshua became. And during these perilous times, that is what we need to be achieving. We must get there. And there is not that far. Don't ever believe that there is something that you cannot achieve here. Because if you think about it, Pastor Andre, if you think about it, all you need for there to be here is a T. All you have to do is add a T to your here, and you are there. All you have to do is to add the truth and the trust in Him, and your there is here right now.
Amen.
And we are out of time. Pastor Andre, could you give them some information about that?
Absolutely. That was an excellent one, and I'm going to have to go back myself and re-listen to this one. I hope that you all were able to glean, I'll use that intentionally as we're talking about fruit here, the importance of cultivating our life in such a way that we produce not only the fruit of the Spirit that's needed, but allow it to accentuate what God wants us to do, not just for ourselves, but for others. If this is your first time listening, I thank you for joining us today on These Be Perilous Times. And I'm glad that you've taken the time to engage in the study of Yah's Word. As I've mentioned earlier, we encourage you to study these things as Bereans and to see if these things are true. And if they are true, then to apply them to your lives. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have any questions, or if you'd like to receive our weekly newsletter, or if you simply desire to leave an encouraging word, we encourage you to do so at our email address, which is office@bethhashem.org. And also, you can find out more about us on our website, www.bethhashem.org. Again, that's BethHashem.org. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And this, our fall semester is starting for our Zakah University of Learning. So this is like the last chance to get in. If you want to learn more about that, please email our office. You can view our courses at courses.bethhashem.org. And we offer courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies. Finally, if you'd like to participate and by donating to our ministry, you can send in tithes. For those of you who are congregants, and offerings can be made via Cash App. Anyone can donate, but we want to make sure for tithes that goes to the local body that you belong to. But for offerings and donations, you can visit us at cashapp.com/$BethHashem, or you can mail your donation to 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. Again, thank you for those who have been donating to this ministry and blessing this work of God. At this time, we want to go ahead and close with our After Torah blessing, and then we'll have our Aaronic benediction, and then Rabbi, I'll pass it to you for closing remarks and prayer. So at this point in time, our After Torah study blessing.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet V'chaye Olam Nata Bikokenu Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set our everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And now for our Aaronic benediction, this is a blessing for our listeners this morning, coming from Numbers chapter 6, that Yah's name be upon you, in Yahushua's name, his son, amen.
Yivarechecha Yahuwah, ve'yishmerecha, Ya'er Yahuwah panavelecha, vihunecha, Yisa Yahuwah, Panavalecha ve'esem lecha shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Amen. Amen. That was awesome. And I want y'all to know and understand that what is there, as stated before, Yah desires for it to be here with us. And no, it's not too far. But it's going to take effort. It's going to take, in order for that tea, in order for that trust to happen in your life, you're going to have to launch out on His word. When He speaks to you, you're going to have to believe and yield and lean into. You're going to have to begin to act upon what He says. When you have tremendous difficulties and significant emotional events that are happening, that are trying to weigh and shake you, trying to destroy you, His word is the seed, but the fruit comes through action. The fruit comes through your obedience to His word. The fruit manifests that power of the gift of the Spirit when you begin to trust it, and you trust it when you begin to act on it, when you begin to feel assured that when you do what He says, He will do what He's promised. Again, when you do what He says, then it activates Him to be able to manifest in your life what He's promised. So, Father, we desire to do what You say so that we can witness the promise of the manifestation in our lives. Not tomorrow or years by to come, but for today, for this moment in time. We believe You, we accept You, and we earnestly expect and wait for the manifestation of what is to come to the sons and daughters of Yah, as You have promised in Your word. We thank You for that. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.